Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and what a blessing it is to be here with you on the radio. My prayer is that you'll all come to know the love of Christ, grow in the grace of Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. Today, we'll begin a new sermon series entitled Stronger Together. I was sitting with my son one night while we were visiting him in Texas. I asked him what he thought was the most important topic to tackle in the church. He said that we all need to come together. The word together settled in my heart. I've been reading and writing on some of the passages that speak to us of the strength we find in God. I truly believe that during this season of worldwide pandemic, we can find strength in God and we can find our strength together. I love the song by King and Country called Together. You can go to YouTube or listen to it, King and Country. It's called Together. And there's a chorus in there. It says, if you're looking for hope tonight, if you're feeling alone tonight, if you're in the fight of your life, we're going to make it happen. And I will be by your side because love is in the air tonight. I'll help you see the light whenever, ever and ever, just as long as we're together, say it. Together we are dangerous, together we, with our differences, together we are bolder, braver, and stronger. A song by King and Country, a chorus, Together. Our Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Psalms. Psalm 2 is a messianic psalm. That means this psalm talks about the coming of the Messiah. Psalm 2 is one of the most often quoted psalms by the writers of the New Testament. This psalm is a record of human rebellion against God and God's response to that rebellion. Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 4. In chapter 3 of Acts, Peter and John have been used by God to heal a lame man at the temple gate called Beautiful. This unnamed lame man had been crippled from birth and was healed by Peter and John. The people questioned Peter and John, and I love their response. It says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as we can see, Acts 3:16. The Sanhedrin, made up of the ruling elders, Sadducees, scribes, and the high priest, and the family of Annas and Caiaphas and John Alexander, they're terribly upset. They were so upset that they put Peter and John in prison for the night and warned them to never speak in the name of Jesus again. Pause and ponder all that happened in Jerusalem. Just 3 months earlier, Jesus had been arrested, beaten, and crucified. The lives of the disciples were threatened by the Sanhedrin, the ruling elders, scribes, and the Pharisees, and these disciples could have fled Jerusalem and walked away from this idea of following Jesus. This is where we pick up our story. Peter and John stand in the same court. They are questioned and threatened by the same people who put Jesus to death. What do you think was going through their minds? What do you think they decided to do? What would we do if we found ourselves in the same circumstances? We are told that Peter and John returned to their own people. What a powerful statement about faith, prayer, praise, and power found in worship. Most likely, they returned to the same upper room where Jesus shared the Last Supper with them. Most likely, they gathered together where Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection and promised that they would be baptized with power from the Holy Spirit. They returned and worshiped. Sounds like a good recipe for us today. Whether we are here in church or whether we're here on the radio, it's time for us to put some Christian music on and worship. If you have your Bibles, grab your Bible. We're going to read Psalm 2. Psalm 2 says, verse 1, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord, he said. You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possessions. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in the Lord. Isn't that a great word? Blessed are all who take refuge in the Lord. Acts chapter 4, 23 through 31. After they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard it, they raised their voices together to God, and they said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and everything in them, it is you who said by the power of the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers have gathered against the Lord and against the Messiah. For in this city, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look at their threats, and grant to your servants to speak your word with boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Let me say this. Do you enjoy getting missionary letters? In this age of email overloads and spam amidst tons of worthless snail mail, junk mail communications, I suppose there are many of us gathered here on the radio today who get missionary letters and don't have time to read them. We end up throwing them away. I enjoy reading missionary letters because I believe they are like a window opened up for us to see the Christian work being done in different portions of the world. I'm encouraged to learn what God is doing in the lives and churches of others. Acts is something like a missionary letter, only the window it opens is not some church in another part of the world. The book of Acts is a window into the newborn church that was created 2,000 years ago in the first days after Pentecost. The early church had its problems and sins, just like our churches do today. But if we spend some time reading and rereading the book of Acts, I believe we will be encouraged and we will learn from this model of the early church. In his commentary on the book of Acts, John Stott tells us, he says, quote, we have seen the apostles in the council, now we see them in the church. Our reading today is about the church at worship. When the church worships, there is praise, prayer, and power. Those are the three points for today's message: prayer, praise, and power. We live in a time when we seem so divided. We are divided politically, Republicans and Democrats, independents and liberals and conservatives. We are separated by race: Asian, Indian, Latin American, African American, Middle Eastern, Caucasian. We are divided by education and economic status. We are split up by our religions and views of God. Now we're being split between vaccinated and not vaccinated. I love that little old nursery song that says, the more we get together, 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 the more we get together, the happier we'll be. Boy, is that not a good truth. In today's politically correct environment, we have to be so careful to keep from offending anyone. There was a wonderful little illustration about a fourth grader who reported on the origins of Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving holiday. This is what he said. The pilgrims came here seeking freedom of you-know-what. When they landed, they gave thanks to you know who. Because of them, we can worship each Sunday, you know where. Listen, the disciples were not afraid to be politically correct. They did not tremble from the threats of the rulers as they gathered together. Luke tells us in verse 24 that they raised their voices together in prayer to God. I would like for us to reflect on the aspect of prayer. First, the disciples responded to their trials and tribulations with prayer. How often do we come to God in prayer when we're going through a difficult time? I love it when I'm with my friends at church and we talk about someone in the body of Christ who needs prayer. It never fails. Someone says, well, let us pray right now. You don't know how encouraging that is to me. When I get a message, an email, or a text, and they say, pray for me, you know what I do? I sit down and write a little prayer and text it back to them. I pray right then, right there, right now. Second, we are united in prayer. They raise their voices together. There's a story told of a horse pull in Canada. The winning horse pulled 9,000 pounds and the runner-up pulled 8,000 pounds. They tied the horses together and the people thought for sure the two horses would pull 17,000 pounds. They pulled 30,000 pounds. How true it is that when we gather together, much more can be accomplished. Prayer is the same way. When we ask someone to pray for us or when we pray with someone else, the power of prayer is magnified. Hey, listen, it only takes one person and two words. Okay, three, if you count the contraction. Say it right now with me. Let's pray. That's all it takes. A simple two-word sentence to put it right there. Let's not just talk about it. Let's pray about it. You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and listen, if you need prayer, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and we will pray for you. I've seen some wonderful miracles in prayer. So let's not just talk about praying, let's really pray. Thirdly, the disciples recognized God's word in prayer as they prayed the Psalms. We find that most of this prayer is an affirmation of the sovereignty of God. Notice they prayed, Lord, you are God. They literally called upon God as sovereign Lord. The prayer begins with God, his greatness especially, and recalls his words of promise in Scripture, his covenant. And they quickly move into the petition. John Calvin, the great reformer, insists that prayer is asking God for what he has promised. Let me say that again, and I'll say it slow. Prayer is asking God for what he has promised. The citation of Psalm 2 in this prayer is designed to precisely accomplish that. The petition is both focused and daring, yet as we break up the prayer into various strands, there is a seemingly strong emphasis upon the character of God. The prayer begins by calling upon God as sovereign Lord, Acts 4:24. A title that signals or just flares out their belief in the sovereignty of God. The Greek word despote is the word we get the English word despot from, and it means one who has absolute authority. And here it means God has absolute authority over this universe and over God's church. The disciples were appealing to the highest authority for their protection. Let me say that again. The disciples were appealing to the highest authority for their protection. They presented themselves as servants, verse 29, literally, doulos, or a translation would be slaves. Remember, these disciples were being threatened with imprisonment, and what they needed to know was, is our God able to deal with their threats? Is he powerful enough? Boy, it sounds like a lot of things we go through today. How often do we need to be reminded that our God is able, that God is enough, that God is all we need? One of the songs that I love to sing, it's an old hymn called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. It was written in 1918 by Helen Lamell. The author and composer of this hymn was given a tract by a missionary friend, and as she read it, Helen's attention was focused on this one line: "So then, turn your eyes upon him, look full into his face, and you will find that the things of earth will acquire a strange new dimness." She related in her little story about this song, she said, "Suddenly, as if commanded to stop and listen, I stood still, and singing in my soul and spirit was the chorus of the hymn, with not one conscious moment of putting word to word to make rhyme or note to note to make a melody. The verses were written the same week after the unusual manner of composition, but nonetheless dictated by the Holy Spirit." Those are her words. Listen to the chorus. I would love to sing it, but you don't want me to sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know if someone you love has died. I don't know if you're struggling with COVID. I don't know if you're struggling with financial pressures or a broken relationship or job situation. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We need to have a view of God that is large enough, that stands before us, that we can see how small our problems really are. We need to have a view of God that shows how big God is, so that we don't have to look at how small our problems are. We must understand that God is the God of creation, who created all, maintains all, rules all, owns all. God is sovereign. The implication is that the Creator is more powerful than those the Creator has created. Let me say that again. The Creator, God, is more powerful than all the people he's created. I have a saying, you hear me say it sometimes, and if you could see me, I put my finger into the palm of my hand and I say, everything passes through the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. Everything passes through the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. That saying gives me comfort when I face hardships or fears or doubts or even pain or death of loved ones. What this passage says to me is that nothing is new to God. For those early disciples, they knew that nothing that occurred in those days before and after the death and resurrection of Jesus had been outside of God's eternal plan or his decree. For these disciples and for us, we need to be reminded that God is our creator, our revealer, and our savior. So listen again how Luke records this and the events that transpired in Jerusalem in those last few weeks that had been Acts 4:28. Listen again. Whatever your hand or your plan had predestined to take place. That's what Luke records. Finally, they prayed for more power. What the church specifically prayed for takes our breath away. One might have expected them to ask that the persecution cease or the pandemic cease, at least for a season. But instead, they prayed that God would make them bold enough to endure it. What I find interesting about this story is that the disciples' prayer request was not to have the trials and tribulations removed. They prayed for more boldness and for miraculous signs and wonders to be theirs through the name of Jesus. Listen again to this prayer. I'll pray it. It says, "And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And by the way of confirmation, God shook. It said the whole place was shaken. God shook the very place in which they stood. In the year AD 400, John Chrysostom, in the great city of Constantinople, began to preach what turned out to be a series of 55 sermons on the book of Acts. In his 11th message on Acts 4:23, he notes, "The whole place was shaken, and that left them all the more unshaken." I love that. The whole place was shaken, but it left them more unshaken. So what? So what do we do with these words written so long ago, and how do we apply them to our lives today? We are told that after the disciples prayed and the whole place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. Do you really believe that we can make a change in the world? In 1935, Blasio Kugusi, a school teacher in Rwanda, Central Africa, was deeply discouraged by the lack of life in the church and the powerlessness of his own experience. He followed the example of the first Christians and closed himself in for a week of prayer and fasting in his little cottage. He emerged a changed man. He confessed his sins to those he had wronged, including his wife and children. He proclaimed the gospel in the school where he taught, and revival broke out there, resulting in students and teachers being saved. They were called Abaka, A-B-A-K-A, Abaka, meaning people of fire. Shortly after that, Blasio was invited to Uganda to share with the Anglican Church there. As he called the leaders to repentance, the fire of the Spirit descended again on that place, with similar results as in Rwanda. Several days later, Blasio died of a fever. His ministry lasted only a few weeks. Only a few weeks, but the revival fire sparked through his ministry swept through East Africa and continued to the present day. Hundreds of thousands of lives have been transformed over the decades through the ministry and the mighty power of the East African revival. It all began with a discouraged Christian setting himself apart to seek the fullness of God's Spirit. Well, it's my prayer that we would all be Abaka, people of fire. Friends, we have been given a promise that we will receive power from the Holy Spirit when he comes upon our lives, and we'll be witnesses here, like where I pastor in Rancho Cucamonga, or wherever your city is, Fontana, Upland, San Diego, Los Angeles, wherever your city is, that we will be people of fire. Let us be like the early disciples. Let us praise and pray, and let us receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us work and show the power and love of God. While I was on my trip, I had an opportunity to stop in Groom, Texas. And while I stopped there, I came across, we drove a few miles and I told my wife it was time for us to stop. And I'm going to share this story next week. It's a powerful story of what God can do when we're together. Let us just come to prayer right now with praise, prayer, and power. Lord God Almighty, we come together today in your holy name, that you are sovereign. You're sovereign over our world. You're sovereign over our work. You're sovereign over our family. You're sovereign over our friends. We ask now, Lord, that you would fill us with holy fire. Make us be bold. Fill us with holy boldness to be your disciples, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we live in tumultuous times, but when we turn our eyes upon you, all things will grow strangely dim, and we'll see you in your glory and grace. In Jesus' name. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.